السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome once again to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. Time now for our Q&A with Mufti Afzal Ilyas Hussain. And inshallah today we have quite a few interesting questions lined up also. And just to remind our listeners, our lines are open 854-1548. And our SMS number for tonight is 082-356-5988. Those numbers once again, 854-1548. And our SMS number is 082-356-5988. And we have Mufti Ilyas with us on the line now. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti sir.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufsab?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Mufsab, we have a few questions lined up here in front of us today. And before we take any other callers, the first question that goes out today to Mufsab is it permissible for a female colleague who is in hijab to have breakfast or tea with a male colleague at her work and show him her face?
How are you, Marahmat?
Alhamdulillah, you can, Mufsab.
Now, first question, on your show, you're already talking of a male meets female. This is something that the Mufti cannot sanction. First of all, for a female to leave her house, we do not encourage that, number one. Secondly, to leave a house for this purpose, definitely Sharia is not going to sanction it. Thirdly, for her to go out with a stranger is completely not permissible. And fourthly, that to go to a strange place like that with a stranger is making matters worse. Fifthly, that to have coffee with a strange person at a strange venue for a very strange reason, he is calling that the woman wants to say that I want to marry you and I want to see you. Now, why he must do all this? He can go to the home if he is sincere, and if he is really keen on marrying the woman, then he can see the face. But to have such a khalwat sahiya, private seclusion, in our times of fitna and fasad, is completely not permissible, prohibited. It is haram. And this will bring about the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that females should never allow that person to take her out for coffee on the pretext or noble pretext of future prospects of marriage. He should abstain, refrain, stay in the house, make dua to Allah jalla majdahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send good spouse for her.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Mufti, for the first question. Going on to the next question today, and just to remind our listeners, 854-1548, our lines are open, and the SMS number is 082-356-5988. The next question that we have, Mufti, is must a woman make parda from her father-in-law?
See, a female, the light of Sharia, must observe the law of hijab. Now, generally, when we talk of hijab and parda, we are talking of the face covered. Remember, in Sharia, it is necessary for the female to even cut off from strangers her face. It has also been scientifically proven that visualization of the face, exposure of the face, or the face can portray and display much beauty. So the face needs to be protected, concealed, so that dignity and honor can be maintained. However, that from the father-in-law, there is no hijab. There is no parda. This does not mean now she is going to dress like how she dresses for her husband in front of the father-in-law. In fact, she will be respecting her father-in-law and dressing like how she will dress in front of her own father. It is absolutely atrocious these days that how the daughters dress in front of the fathers, their own fathers. their contours of the body are shown visibly. They half naked in front of their own fathers. That is why, unfortunately, that the sin takes place, the eventual sin takes place amongst them also. So, on one side, she is, in technically speaking, she does not have to conceal her face from her father-in-law, but at the same time, she must dress very modestly in front of the father-in-law and also dress in a proper Islamic manner, meaning no part should be revealed, no shape should be shown, and she should realize fully that this is like her father. However, that if the father-in-law and the daughter-in-law are very young, then the husband should realize we are living in the time of fitna and fasad, and always be present when the daughter-in-law and father-in-law are together, let alone shaitan take advantage over any secluded situation.
JazakAllah Muftar for that. Going on to the next question now, we have one question on the screen from the caller here. It says, is it permissible to read namaz while one has applied hair gel after making wudu?
See, the hair gel, I have been informed, here must remember the question, is after wudu that person applied the hair gel. We have been informed that there are certain hair gels that are so thick or of chemical texture and nature that they do not allow water to permeate, and unfortunately that when the person applies that gel, it becomes a so thick paste over the hair, the fibers and the strands of the hair, that water does not go through, permeate, and technically speaking, the hair does not become wet. Now, if that gel of that nature is applied prior to wuzu, before wuzu, then obviously masa will not be valid. The wuzu is incomplete. And when the wuzu is incomplete, the salat is not valid, let alone being accepted. Now, in this case, that the gel has been applied after the wuzu has been made. Now we'll have to watch another part. What are the ingredients of that gel? The gel has to have, and in most cases it does have, permissible halal ingredients. And when that is the case, then it will be permissible to apply such a gel and then make salah. Thirdly, that unfortunately, because of the application of gel and then spiking the hair and then straightening the hair, then the youngsters do not want to adorn the topi, the hat, because they feel that their hairstyle is going to be disrupted. And so much money has been now lathered on the head, that is going to go to waste. And their beautification of their hair is going to be ruined. This is not in accordance with Islamic text and spirit.
JazakAllah Muftisab for that. We have a caller online, Muftisab, our first caller online. If you would like to take the call. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, sir. Can you hear me?
Ji.
Okay. There's two questions I'd like to ask, Mufti Sahab, pertaining to salam. One is that, you know, when you're following imam in Farz Namaz, and when imam has to make sajda sahu, those people joining the imam late who has missed one rakat or more, how do they perform the sajda sahu? Do they make a salam? We have been told, I was informed that if you make a salam, the salah becomes invalid and the salam will be repeated. And somebody else gave me another view. They said, no, this not has to be repeated. That's the one question. I repeat, if you're calling imam in Farz Salah and imam has to make sajda sahu, those people who join the imam late and has missed one or two rakats, how do they make sajda sahu? And if they make sajda, so we're making one salam and following this imam in sajda, does the namaz become invalid or is it still valid? That's the one question. The other question is, in witr namaz, if one has to, by mistake, forget to make the third rakat, recite the dua kunut, and goes into ruku and realizes and then wakes up, then stands up, and then makes Allahu Akbar and read the dua kunut and go back into ruku. Does that become namaz become invalid because of changes of all postures, or what is the position? Does that sajda sahu correct that namaz? I'll listen on there. Hello?
Hello, okay. Jazakallah for that. Mufti Sahib,
yeah, I got it.
Ji, go ahead.
Maulana Hamad Sahib,
ji,
that in these instances you must write down the questions, right?
Okay.
I hope you have written them.
Ji, yeah.
And then we can answer them, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Can I start answering?
Ji, yes.
First one, that the late comer of Salat, the Mazbuk. The mazbuk, that means whether it's one rakat he missed or two, whatever it is, then the imam made sijda sahw, that means he made sijda for error and mistake, then they can make that salam with him, and after that make the sijda, and subsequently stand up and complete their missed rakat as normal. It will not invalidate their salat. The second one, what that person should have done. The second one, he forgot to make or read, recite the dua kunut in its place. So that person should have, after ruku, he should have recited the kunut and then went away straight into sijda, followed by sijda sahu. If the person made two rukus, then he has invalidated the salat, and that wizard has to be repeated.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Just to remind our listeners once again, our lines are open, 854-1548. Our email address is onair@radioislam.co.za, and our SMS number for tonight, 082-356-5988. Going on to the next question, Mufti Sahib. Is it permissible for a man to apply black color dye on his head and his beard?
As far as dyeing of the hair for men, in principle it is permissible. To dye the hair is permissible, number one. Secondly, that to dye the hair any other color besides black is permissible. Thirdly, the preferred color which we have noticed our elders utilizing and stated in the hadith kitabs was reddish. Fourthly, that during jihad, then it is permissible to do two things. Utilize silk for men, and secondly, for men to dye their hair black, which will obviously give the notion and impression to the opposition and enemy and foe that the person we are confronting is a young person and not an elderly and not a person of age. So in that case, it is permissible. If a person dies in our age, the hair black, that is definitely makruh, detested. And for the imam, some imams even I've been informed that they dye their hair and beard absolutely black, and even we have been informed that the dye is visible, the actual dye itself is visible on their cheeks. So this is definitely detested makruh. And the imam and the Muslim should abstain from dyeing the hair of the head or the beard black in color.
JazakAllah for that. Going on to the next question now. A person says, is it permissible for a woman who is expecting to see whether it's a girl or whether it's a boy via a scan?
On one side, the Sharia allows medical valid examination, and in the last ayat of Surah Luqman, where Allah Jalla Majdahu speaks about the five types of knowledge, which is wholly, solely in the hands and knowledge of Allah Jalla Majdahu, then amongst that five is one, that what is in the wombs of the mother. Now concerning this, I do know that previously it was stated that this refers perhaps to the gender of the fetus or what is in the womb. But most of the authentic, reliable Mufassireen, those who commentate on the Quran, state that this refers not to the gender of what is in the womb, but whether the child is fortunate or misfortunate, whether the child will be wealthy or not, and concerning the character, personality of the child. So it is permissible to see or to have an idea what gender the mother is carrying. However, it is not a very good exercise. It is not a very exciting procedure to do, because perhaps the hijab laws will have to be broken, number one. Secondly, then it will give the person hopes. Oh, it is, if they are longing for a girl, they'll say, oh, now a girl is coming. Or if they want a boy, they'll say, a boy is coming. Then subsequently, what will happen to that mother if the, due to some medical reason and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they lose by miscarriage what they carry? Then can you imagine how devastating that female, that mother will be, and that woman will be, and how traumatic it will be for her, that she will be now torn apart in anxiety and depression, because she from prior was holding so much of hope for what was in the womb and in the stomach, and all of a sudden it had to be now terminated, or something happened and there is a miscarriage. So on one hand it is permissible, but the person should think carefully before doing it.
Okay, Jazakallah Mufti Sahab for that. Going on to the next question now. A person asks, is there any specific hair oil to use that is sunnah for men?
No specific hair oil as such has been stated for utilization. How the benefits of olive oil have been stated in Surah 3 to great extent. In fact, there is a tafsir kitab which is called Tafsir-e-Azizi by Shah Muhaddis Abdul Aziz Delvi Rahmatullah Alayh, and under the ayats of Surah 3, a lot of benefit has been recorded about olive and the oil of olive.
Going on to the next question, just to remind our listeners, 8541548, our lines are open. Our email address on air@radioislam.co.za, and our SMS number for tonight, 0823565988. A person says, I have 8 years of salah to read. Is it permissible to omit the sunnah in my current salah and read my qada instead?
See, first of all, every individual that is listening should worry about this performance of qaza salat. We have become so lazy and lackadaisical that we have forgotten the importance and significance of salah, current salah, let alone performance of qaza, those salat that we have missed. So to make recompense of it, we call it qaza salat. Now, every individual should make a concerted, proper effort and endeavor to complete the salat, current ones and those that we have missed. Now, this person, we make dua Allah Jalla Majdahu grant him the ability to complete his desire of 8 years' performance.
Amen.
However, he may forego the nawafil, that means the optional salah, and he should, as far as possible, not miss the sunnah. The sunnatul muaqqidah he should not miss. Sunnatul ghair muaqqidah, technically speaking, is mustahab. He may forego that. But sunnatul muaqqidah he should not forego. Why? Because sunnatul muaqqidah is that sunnat which beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly did without any break. And sunnatul ghair muaqqidah, as I told you, in the terms of fiqh, it is mustahab also. And also that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it and left it out occasionally. So a person may leave out the nafil, mubah, and the sunnatul ghair muaqqidah and complete the qaza salah. Now, one person may say that I'm very regular in performing the tahajjud salah. Must I leave it out? The tahajjud salah that perform qaza only? Our reply is that tahajjud salah comprises and consists of 12 rakats maximum and 2 rakats minimum. So we say perform 2 rakats light, meaning quick 2 rakats of tahajjud salah, and then follow it up with all qaza salat as much as possible.
Mufti Sahab, we have a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Jeeva.
What are the benefits and virtues of closing the qabr after the deceased has been put into the qabr? Nowadays it's become very lax that no one wishes to throw sand into the qabr. Kindly help and assist us. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Remember that in the light of the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, various recalls, various rewards have been stipulated concerning performance of salat and janazah. One is, for example, the following of the salat and following the janazah itself. Other one is carrying the janaza. Third one is performance of the salat janaza, which is a dua in reality. And fourth is that to bury the person and seek forgiveness for him or her. Now, a person should worry about firstly following the salat janaza. These days, unfortunately, the method that we are utilizing to carry the janazah is not in accordance with the sunnah. The salat, the janazah, the bear, should be carried in a method, not like a shuttle method that we are using now. The shuttle method is not a Shari-compliant method. A person should carry if you now have to just make a rectangle whilst I'm speaking, then on the left-hand side corner, that means the right shoulder of the mayyat, you should carry that area for 10 paces, then the lower bottom left for 10 paces, then the upper right for 10, and the lower right for 10 paces. That's how the salat, that's how the bear is supposed to be moved towards the place of performance of salat and janazah. Also, one should not walk in front of the bear, but behind. Now, the salat and janazah obviously is performed, and there is no dua substantiated after that, because the salat and janazah itself is a dua. Now comes the important part of placing the janazah into the ground in a Sharia manner and covering with sand. Our areas, you know, we put planks, then we cover. Here, unfortunately, we are becoming too lax and lazy, and every other person wants to disappear after the Salat Janazah. This is not conducive for us, and this is not good behavior. What will eventually happen, unfortunately, there will be too few people left to cover the grave, and to not cover the grave, we will seek assistance from other people who are not Muslims and who are caretakers of the grave sites. I have been informed that in one or two places this has already transpired and taken place, this unsavory activity, that a Muslim brother's grave has been now covered utilizing the workforce of non-believers. This is absolutely atrocious and unbecoming. What happened here that most go away and do not want to put sand, whereas it comes clearly that we're supposed to be putting sand in 3 handfuls minimum and reading a dua, which basically displays that we have come from sand and we are going to the sand and we are going to return to the sand. Now, especially our youngsters should be encouraged to participate and soil themselves and not have this outlook that if I have to put sand there, then the hair on my head will get disrupted or the clothing will become dirty or dusty. This is completely wrong. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has used one word in the hadith called qirat. And he says that the person who completes all these activities, he's like the one who has received maximum 3 qirats for completing the whole procedure. And those who fall short, every time they fall short on an activity of burial, the sawab reward becomes less. Their qirat of sawab becomes less. So in this age, when we should be vying with each other for reward, looking for reward, seeking and hankering after reward, we are running away from grabbing hold of reward. And this is a very, very serious issue, because already 1-2 places, there were no one there, or very few, and who were tired filling the sand in the grave and had to utilize other people who are not believers to complete the procedure. How embarrassing to even talk about it.
Jazakallah Mufti for that. We have quite a few questions coming in on our cell phones and very few callers that we have. Mufti, going on to the next question. Is it permissible for a Hanafi to eat calamari? And what is calamari?
It is permissible, in our view and research, for a Hanafi to eat calamari. And personally, I think it may be to do with an octopus or something.
Okay, Jazakallah Mustafa. Then going on to the next question. Can itar be applied to a deceased female's body?
Although permissible, in our age we should abstain.
Jazakallah Mufti for that. Just to remind our listeners, 854-1548. Our lines are open. 0823565988 is our SMS number for tonight. Our email address is onair@radioislam.co.za. Mufti, we have a question in front of us here saying, when you sneeze in the toilet, can you say Alhamdulillah?
If Alhamdulillah comes out involuntarily, the person will not be harnessed, meaning that inshallah he will not be accountable. However, that he should go out, when he comes out, then say Alhamdulillah. Involuntary conforming and saying Alhamdulillah, that will not be accountable. So the person should always realize where the person is and also take cognizance of the fact that where the dua should be recited and where the dua should not be recited.
So we have 2 callers online. Let's take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Ji, brother.
One thing we would like to ask. With regards to after filling the graves and putting the planks, in throwing the sheet, almost in every minyat, what happens is the planks are slanted. Now, one janazah I've witnessed that the planks are made such that there's two gaps on each side and it's floored. Is that right or wrong? Or can be done?
Okay,
hold on, Demora. Where are the gaps?
On both sides of the grave.
That
and then
the
they place the planks as if you like tiling your floor.
Right.
And it's not done whereas the planks are slanting.
No, no. There is some gap at the ends.
No, no. It's like a tiled floor on the grave,
right.
And the body is just tucked into one side.
Right.
And then once the person put on the last plank, he stands on top of that. He stands on top of that complete floor where the wood is placed.
Okay. What's your question?
Is that permissible? Can that be done? And then there's no sheet that's thrown over because now it's like a tiled floor.
So okay, what's your question? What's your difficulty?
Can that be done?
What do you mean? What can?
Putting the planks tiled on the floor, on the base of the cover.
Then where they put the body?
On the side.
No, no, I'm not understanding you.
No.
That is the body put on the tile floor that you're talking of.
No, no.
That means the floor, the body
in the grave, they don't slant the what you call those wooden planks.
Right.
And then they don't throw a sheet over the wooden planks.
Right.
That's normally done in most of our Kabristans.
Right.
Now, particularly, this method is used in the Roshni Cemetery.
Right.
Whereas it's not slanted, but it's like tiled to the floor.
Oh, in other words, it's not lahad.
Okay, carry on. Okay, I'll answer, inshallah.
Okay, jazakallah for
that. See, in this case where the respected caller is stating, at the moment, fully, I do not understand. If Maulana Muhammad, if you can help me, because I do not know whether he is objecting to the walking after they have slanted those planks and to make it level into a flooring, and whether now it has become the body, and then the planks are put in such a way that, means, hypothetically speaking, if you are sleeping in the grave, then there is a floor above you, not a slanted system of planks. So whether it is a floor above you or a slanted systems of plank, both are permissible in the light of Sharia. Now, certain areas, the methods are changed because of the soil condition and because of the hardness or softness of the soil, then methods, the ulama of that area improvise the method that is best suited for the soil texture and hardness or softness of that area. So what the brother is describing is permissible.
Jazakallah, Muftisab, for that. We have a comment here from a brother, and he would like Muftisab to comment more on this. He says a lot has been said about Arsenal Football Club and its ties with Israel. Can Muftisab please comment about that, and also the fact that Man United are run by a Jew company from America?
All, unfortunately, especially South African youth, and now this ailment, I will call, and this disease is so rampant that late Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Alayh, that is Abul Hassan Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh Maulana, he even commented to the Arabs about this issue, about soccer and becoming fanatical in watching soccer, attending soccer at this level. South Africans sit here in South Africa and are glued to the television, worried about all these batil people playing football and all 22 people running and beating up and kicking viciously one ball, and spend so many hundreds of hours, a person who is listening to my answer fairly, without any bias, should take out pen and paper and see how many hours per week that person, who is especially a fanatic in watching and following this England League or British League, and see how many valuable hours are being wasted and put down the drain. To make matters worse, that now these clubs and associations are run, controlled, funded by those who are butchering our mothers and children, and those who are firing missiles against us innocently, and they are killing innocent children and mothers, etc. We should not be fanatical about this and waste so much of time behind this Baathil system. And a point to ponder about, does these Baathil people who are funding these or these football teams, do they have for their country any official soccer side? When you look carefully, you'll see they don't have soccer sides officially, but they are busy kicking our posteriors here, there, and everywhere, because they have made our heads and posteriors for kicking using bullets and rifles and using missiles and grenades against us. So a sensible Muslim should first of all start immediately repenting and not wasting and watching these Baathil people, who most of them are immoral, immodest, and no role models to follow. And unfortunately, Maulana, you'll bear witness when you walk around, then you'll see Muslims having very, very strange haircuts. And when you inquire, this is a haircut of that Baathil person, that Socarite, and that pop artist, and that fellow. We are, instead of imitating and emulating beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have gone so low, we have stooped so low to whatever we have gone down, that we are imitating Baathil people who have destroyed our most valuable time and now attacking our iman. And by looking at that, we are giving them preference and we are supporting something that is not going to benefit us. And this is the punchline, and this is the most important thing, that it is no benefit to this world, to the grave, or the akhirat. It is absolutely surprising that when you stand in the graveyard too, the people are talking about who's winning and who's losing. And let alone in our country, but in those Baathil countries where their troops are being sent out to kill, butcher, maim, and massacre Muslims willy-livingly. So a person should definitely change, immediately start cutting the hours and eventually leaving it.
Yes. JazakAllah, Mufassar, for that. We have a call online, if you would take it. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Ji, brother.
How are you, Brahman?
Alhamdulillah, go ahead.
My first question is, Muslims buying hot cross buns over the Easter period, right? And my second question is, person performing his Zohar Salat at his workplace, where Jamaat Khana is a bit distance right now. At a Jamaat Khana, there's no mic, so Azan is given in a Jamaat Khana. By car, it's about, say, 7 minutes from his workplace to the Jamaat Khana. Now, if he's performing his Zohar Salat at his workplace, is it necessary for him to give again Azan, or can Mufti Sahib advise? I'll hear over here. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother, for that. Mufti Sahib, did you get the questions?
No, no. Have you got another caller?
Do we have any other callers? No other callers online. The first question was, the brother was asking about hot cross buns on this Easter. A lot of people say it's not permissible to eat because it's a sign of the Christians. Is it permissible or not to buy?
You should not purchase these during Easter time per se, on the exact time of Easter. It is permissible to eat it, obviously, before and after Easter, and sell it before and after Easter. Yeah.
The second question of Sub was, the person says that the Jamaat Khana is quite a distance from the workplace. So can they give a second Adhan at the workplace, or do they follow the Jamaat Khana Adhan?
If they, alhamdulillah, in their workplace have established a Jamaat Khana, Allah reward them. And they should give another azan. However, if the Salat of Jamaat is performed without them giving the azan, the Salat will be valid. But we will strongly suggest and encourage and advise them to give another azan so that the concept of azan be understood. And those brothers will know that there is some gap between azan, performance of sunnah and ikama and commencing of the faraz salat. So they should give the azan.
Jazakallah Mufti for that. Our lines are open 8541548, SMS number 0823565988, and our email address for tonight on air@radioislam.co.za. Going on to the next question, Mufti Sahib. Can a person perform salah with perfume containing 5% or 0.5% alcohol?
Salah would be valid makruh.
We go on to the next question. Now, can Mufti Sahib please comment on the beard? Is it sunnah or is it wajib?
As far as the beard is concerned, there are many articles we have written and all are posted on our website. Website is very easy, alislam.co.za. And you can source the website via the website of Radio Islam also. And for those who want to listen to Radio Islam also, they can go to our website, alislam.co.za, and have audio streaming while surfacing our website. There you'll find many articles. One article, a leaflet about the beard according to the four mazhabs. Another one is a booklet which we have translated of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib, who is the Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Uloom Azadpur. Now, lately, we have also worked on one kitab of Hazrat Allama Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, the outstanding ustad of Darul Uloom Deoband, Dari or Anbiya Ke Sunnate. The beard and the sunnats of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And many elders have written concerning the beard, substantiating from the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that forgive your beard, let it grow, that lengthen the beard, shorten the mustaches, that the difference between Muslims and the polytheists is that the Muslims lengthen their beard and shorten their mustache, whereas they lengthen the mustaches and lengthen their mustaches and do not lengthen their beards. So we should regard and know clearly that four out of four imams of jurisprudence have stated unanimously that the beard is wajib according to jurisprudence, meaning compulsory according to jurisprudence. Now the beard, the length should be fished length. That also is wajib. And it is haram according to four out of four of them to shave or trim the beard less than a fished length. And those who say, you know, the beard just means some hair pasturing on the face, they are erroneous. They do not have any valid proof for it. The beard, although it is the sunnah of the Anbiya, sunnah here will translate way and pattern, norm of the Anbiya, but it is jurisprudentially speaking wajib. And a person who trims, shaves his beard is a fasik and a fajir, meaning a transgressor and an evildoer. And in an Islamic country, will not be allowed to stand as witness. His imamat, the person who shaves, trims beard, imamat is all the time makruh tahrimi.
Okay, going on to the next question. A person says that he is a family of four. He works for a Muslim company in Indonesia, and his salary a month is 1,200 rand, which he cannot come out with. Is this a zulm from the boss's side or not?
Is this
a zulm, oppression?
Zulm. First of all, that this is a very pathetic situation. And unfortunately, that definitely, especially if the boss can afford more salary to be given, and if in this age he's paying 1,200 or 400 for four children, then he was going to be accountable on the day of judgment for not paying how he's supposed to be paying. There is what we call the bread line in our country. And the person should be paying that figure or above that figure, and cannot expect that person to survive with a salary of 1,200. Definitely, that boss, he is going against the simple command of Allah by underpaying. But surprisingly, what will be happening if you make investigation, then the boss will be standing in the first saf. And the boss will be smiling to all the ulama and befriending all the ulama. And the boss will be writing checks out for charity and zakat, etc., and be classified a generous person. And the boss will be very reputable as far as his hospitality, generosity is concerned. But this, what he's supposed to be doing, which is right under his nose, he's not doing. He's going to be accountable for this. And he should change the status quo forthwith.
JazakAllah Muftisar for that. Going on to the next question now, some people touch their hearts or their chest after shaking hands with people. What is the Islamic ruling about this?
I will narrate one small incident here. That once I was coming out of Masjid Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I met Hazrat Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Bulanchari, rahmatullah alayhi. We have translated many of his works, and alhamdulillah, the Anwarul Bayan, illuminating discourses in 10 volumes. The radio station uses this extensively. We have also edited and supervised. Now, when I met him, then after shaking hands with him, I did exactly what is in the question. Took my hands and placed it on my chest. So, Allah Ta'ala reward Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Bulanchari Rahmatullah Alayh, that there were literally hordes of people around us when I did this. Immediately he reprimanded me and scolded me and told me, what are you doing? So I said, I'm doing this out of respect. So he said that this is an innovation, what you're doing. And very firmly and very loudly, putting me in an embarrassing situation. Then, as a typical Maulvi, I said, no, this is tabarrukan. This is blessing I am trying to obtain. He said, there is blessing in the sunnah. There is no blessing in innovation. And he knew what I was trying to do, trying to justify what I'm doing. So, but he had a unique quality. Immediately after reprimanding me, then smiling and talking normally after that, absolutely, forgetting what had transpired. And this should be our attitude, that we should be firm, but immediately after reprimanding and scolding, behave absolutely normal after that, so that we can go on with life and be positive. So this action of after shaking hand, placing the hand on the chest, is an innovation.
Going on to the next question, the last question for tonight. A person says, my daughter is at an age where she could get married. People do come home, but it's never the right one. Is there any dua to make or to read? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for her.
First of all, Salatul Istikhara, or not Istikhara, Salatul Hajat, Salat of need, is absolutely necessary to perform in this case and seek guidance and help and support from Allah Jalla Majdahu. Then inshallah the good, the right person will come along. If that person is on email, can email me we try to send some du'as. Email MUFTIE at mweb.co.za or alislam.co.za. Or you can send the question to online, the email there, and we will get it and reply accordingly, inshallah.
JazakAllah Muftisab for your time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you barakah, inshallah, and give you a healthy long life, inshallah. Muftisab, before we end of our show for tonight, any nasiha from your side, advice from your side, or comments from your side?
First of all, try not to use the word show. Why? Because this is a learning procedure program. You learn, I learn, and the callers learn. They teach us, and we interact, and each one is learning and teaching. So we should say learning program, inshallah.
Learning
and
program,
what
inshallah.
I actually want to say is, what was the second, third, last question, that every boss should take care of who he is employing. And every boss, tomorrow or in this week, should call everyone whom that person has employed and ask them, how much salary are you getting? How many children you got? How many dependents? How many are you supporting? Where are you staying? How do you go from work and come from work? What are your expenditures? What are your basic needs? What are your requirements? And the boss will be surprised that this person is performing a miracle with the salary that we are giving. We complain that staff is stealing, goods are missing, the grocery department is short, and all sorts of things. But have you ever thought that the person whom we are have employed, they are doing it to sustain and maintain themselves? They are doing it to make ends meet. They are doing it because they can never come out of the salary that we are giving. Now, I will also appeal to especially Islamic institutes that how much are we paying our ulama ikram? And there is no such thing that if our alim is coming from outside South Africa, then he must be given a salary pro rata to India, Pakistan, etc. No such thing. He doesn't take the salary and buy the rice from India or Pakistan. He doesn't take that salary and buy the meat from India or Pakistan. He gets a salary and he goes to the very same butcher and same bazaar that we are going to. So he should be given a livable, and he should be given a proper salary so that he can sustain and maintain himself, and his children can also enjoy the ice cream which others are enjoying. So my humble appeal is that interview the staff and see what you are paying and how much you are paying, and see whether you can manage with that salary. Please, we will be doing ourselves a favor if we upgrade the salaries. Allah Ta'ala will be so happy with us that there will be barakah in our businesses, and people may not call you generous, but your staff will make dua for you. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts all our efforts. And nice to have you on here, Marana Hamad.
Jazakumullah, Mufsab. Barakallah feek. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.